The San Francisco 49ers are no different than the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, than America itself. It's fractured, it's divided. There's two different camps within the same team. This is election day, so that's why I use the political references. The Democratic Party, you have a fracture between the progressive Democratic left and the moderate centrist Democratic middle. Republicans, you have never Trumper neoconservatives, and you have the hardcore Trump supporting Tea Party far right Republicans out there. And within the San Francisco 49ers, you have people who are Kyle Shanahan people, and you have the Jimmy Garoppolo disciples. Garoppolo sicko fans will tell you that the San Francisco 49ers' success, in particular last season, going 13-3, winning the NFC West, getting all the way to within 7 minutes of a sixth Super Bowl championship in franchise history, those people, the Garoppolo disciples, they will tell you that the biggest reason for our success last season was the quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo. Then you have the Shanahan people who will tell you, no, the biggest reason was Shanahan's game planning, play calling ability, and overall football acumen. The Garoppolo people will tell you that Shanahan is 27-29 as a head coach, under 500. 22 of his wins came with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback. The Shanahan people will tell you that Jimmy looks better than what he actually is because of Kyle's ability to scheme guys wide open, shorten the field, make the game plan simple and easy for him, dumb down the offense, rely on a bunch of shuffle passes, hitches, curls, drags, slants, passes intermediately between 10 to 15 yards in the line of scrimmage. So you have a battle within the 49er fan base. All you have to do is go on Facebook, Instagram, anywhere on social media. Look at the comment section after the 49er loss. In particular, this ass-whooping we caught on Sunday at the hands of those low-grade sons of bitches, the Seattle Seahawks, our most hated blood rival. 37-27 this past Sunday, and it wasn't even that close. You'll see people arguing back and forth in the news that Jimmy is once again injured. Re-injured his ankle on Sunday. Potential surgery. Probably out for the rest of the season. He may have taken his last snap as a San Francisco 49er quarterback last Sunday. And in that game, for the second time this season, he failed to throw for over 100 yards. He was 11 of 16, 84 yards, no touchdowns, one interception. Wildly inaccurate throughout the first half. San Francisco was in position to score twice in the red zone. Jimmy threw a pick, tried to hit George Kittle on an in route. Kittle slipped on the route. Jimmy threw it a little bit behind him anyway. Pass was picked off by DJ Reed, who formerly has played for the 49ers. Jimmy also missed a few other easy passes that he should be able to make at this point. Once again, this is a $27 million quarterback who's inaccurate. Still lacks good decision making, is largely immobile. If the pass rush gets there, he's probably going down. Struggles going through his progression, struggles with pre-snap reads, struggles with basic shit a starting quarterback in the NFL should be able to do, especially one who's being compensated the way he is. But you have the Jimmy people who will argue with you, who will tell you, you're not being a real 49er fan. You're crazy. You're not a real member of the faithful. Something's wrong. You don't know shit about football because you're anti-Garoppolo or because you dare to have the audacity to call out Jimmy on any of his shortcomings. Similar to being a Democrat. You call out Joe Biden on his shortcomings, liberals and black people will look at you like you're crazy because you had the audacity, the temerity to challenge someone and actually ask them to do better. For a 49er fan like me, and I'll go ahead, I'll state my 49er fan credentials. I've been a fan since I was 6. I'm 35 right now. 29 years in this. I watched this team from 91 to right now. I painstakingly stuck with this team during the Chip Kelly era, 2016 going 2-14. The Dennis Erickson years, also going 2-14, having the first pick in the draft, taking Alex Smith. Waiting for him to develop. I watched guys like Cody Pickett and Tim Rattay and Sean Hill and Trent Dilfer, Jim Druckenmiller, Giovanni Carmazzi, Elvis Gerback. I watched guys like that play quarterback for the 49ers and play it horribly. Ken Dorsey, he's another one. the early years of Alex Smith, Troy Smith, Brian Hoyer a couple years ago. I watched these guys play quarterback for the 49ers. I watched some bad years. I've seen some terrible losses. I vividly remember being 7, 8 years old, crying myself to sleep when the Dallas Cowboys beat the 49ers in consecutive back-to-back NFC Championship games in 92 and 93. I watched the brutal Super Bowl 47 loss to the Baltimore Ravens, a game San Francisco was picked to win. And just 8 months ago, I watched another brutal Super Bowl loss when San Francisco had a 10-point lead with 7 minutes to go to the Kansas City Chiefs and then gave up 21 unanswered points to lose the second Super Bowl in franchise history. I've watched the 49ers play in 3 Super Bowls. They are 1-2 in the Super Bowls I've watched them play. And I know some fans of certain team bases, of certain teams' fan bases will hear me talk like that and say, man, shut the fuck up. You've watched your team play in 3 Super Bowls. I'm a Bills fan. I watched them lose 4 Super Bowls. I'm a Browns fan. We never sniffed a Super Bowl in recent memory. If you're a Chargers fan, you're a Lions fan, a Jaguar, a Jet, if you're a Jets fan, you don't want to hear me bitching and complaining about watching my team lose 2 Super Bowls. You ain't trying to hear that. Your team hasn't played in the Super Bowl since 1969. If you're a certain age, you've never seen your favorite team play in the Super Bowl if you're a Jet fan. If you're a Redskins fan, a Washington football team fan, you don't want to hear me complain about this, well, how atrocious your team has been for the past 30 years. But I'm just stating my 49er fan credentials. I'm giving you my resume as a 40 and long-time, die-hard, faithful San Francisco 49er fan. Most bitter 49er loss I ever saw. But one of them, before, take the 2 Super Bowls out of it. One of the most bitter losses I ever seen was losing in 98 to the Atlanta Falcons NFC Divisional playoff game. Garrison Hurst broke his ankle the first play of the game. And to me, that's what cost the 49ers the game that day. What I'm trying to convey to you is that my 49er fan credentials should never be brought into question. I've stuck with this team, the Jim Tomsula era, watching the Mike Nolan era, where he was more concerned with looking nice on the sideline, wearing a nice suit than he was with getting his team prepared to play, where Nolan would routinely show up to the post-game news conference after another embarrassing 49er loss and say, well, we're just going to stay the course and try to figure things out going forward. Staying the course meant we're going to continue doing the same shit that led to a 35-10 loss today, and we're just going to repeat the same dumbass mistakes and not make any adjustments. Watching Colin Kaepernick, watching that the Harbaugh years just blow up and self-destruct. Going to the Super Bowl, going to 3 straight NFC Championship games, and then having the team blown up. Having Patrick Willis retire, Chris Borland retire, Navarro Bowman go out with his knee injury, pretty much ended his career in the NFC Championship game against Seattle in 2013. Anthony Davis retired. Frank Gore left. Mike Crabtree left. Vernon Davis left. The whole makeup and complexion of the team changed dramatically, rapidly over the next 2 years, and the 49ers went into a 6-year tailspin. Enter Kyle Shanahan in 2017. They get off to an 0-9 start, 0-10 start, I believe. Started that year off 0-10 with Brian Hoyer and C.J. Beathard playing quarterback, culminating in a 33-10 ass whooping at the hands of the eventual Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. This prompted and facilitated general manager John Lynch, who joined the team the same year, to make a deal with the New England Patriots and give up a 3rd-round draft pick to bring in their long-time, long-celebrated backup quarterback, the backup to Tom Brady, the boy, the next guy up, a guy that a lot of people had optimism was going to be the next great quarterback in the NFL, Jimmy Garoppolo. John Lynch brings him in. He starts the last 5 games of the 2017 season, and the 49ers go 5-0. And at that moment, in going 5-0, Jimmy Garoppolo was anointed the brand new 49ers savior. Our hero has finally come to rescue us. The modern day incarnation of Joe Montana. The second coming of Tom Brady. I mean, he studied under Brady, so he has to be the next Brady, right? That logic escapes me. But that was the talk, and that still is the talk among a lot of 49er fan circles, that Jimmy Garoppolo is the guy that's going to restore the 49ers back to long-term consecutive greatness. Back to being a perennially favorite team to make it to the Super Bowl. One of a contender every year. It's like we were in the 80s and the 90s. Into the early 2000s in the Steve Mariucci, Jeff Garcia, Terrell Owens years. One of those teams you always had to account for. The mighty five-time Super Bowl champion San Francisco 49ers. Jimmy Garoppolo was here, and he was going to restore this team back to greatness. Fast forward to 2020, he may have played his last down for the San Francisco 49ers last Sunday versus the Seattle Seahawks in a 37-27 victory for the Seahawks, loss for the 49ers. As of right now, the news recently just came in, ankle surgery is likely for him. He was already listed yesterday as being out for the next 4 to 6 weeks, or out indefinitely. Now the word is that he's facing ankle surgery, which will probably put him out for the rest of the season. The 49ers can, the way Garoppolo's deal is structured, they can save $26 million on next year's salary cap, a shrinking salary cap, mind you. They can save $26 million by letting go of Garoppolo. They can eat $2 million of that money in dead cap space and just let him go and save $25 million and rebuild and restart. That brings me back to what I was saying at the onset of this. You have a conversation now going on in the Bay Area and amongst 49ers fans. What should the 49ers do? Should they get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo? Should they bring him back for one more season? The Garoppolo sycophants ain't trying to hear none of that. In their mind, it's utter blasphemy. It's insane. It's ridiculous. How could you even assert that the 49ers should just cut bait with Jimmy Garoppolo and let him go? He's the reason we went to the Super Bowl last year. We went 13-3 with him. Look at Kyle's record with Garoppolo. Look at Kyle's record without Garoppolo. We went 13-3 last season, largely predicated on the strength of the defense, the running game, and the offensive brilliance of Kyle Shanahan. To further illustrate Shanahan's brilliance as an offensive coordinator and as a head coach, as a play caller, the 49ers this year still rank in the top 10 in many offensive categories, in points scored, passing yards, rushing yards, first downs. They are top 10 in the NFL. They've done this with three different men playing quarterback for the 49ers this season. Jimmy Garoppolo has been in and out of multiple games. Once again, he's probably going to be out for the rest of the season. Nick Mullins is now taking over. He will get the start on Thursday versus Green Bay. C.J. Beathard had a couple of quarters to play. He played the second half of the Dolphins' abomination, and he took over from Mullins when Mullins was sticking up the joint in a Sunday night game versus Philadelphia. So three different quarterbacks have played for the 49ers, and one guy calling the plays has the team still top 10 in all the significant offensive categories. And with the plethora, the litany, the myriad of injuries that have taken place in San Francisco this season, losing Nick Bosa earlier in the season, losing Solomon Thomas, Garoppolo, the starting quarterback, hobbled all season, George Kittle out with a knee for the first two or three games, come back, now he braces his foot in the Seattle game. Richard Sherman been out since week one. Dee Ford still rehabilitating that dislocated vagina. This assortment of injuries, this labor-ready, pay-as-you-go secondary that's been assembled. Jaquaski Tartt, Jimmy Ward out for the New England game. Put in Tre'Davious Moore, put in Marcel Harris, go win 33-6. Raheem Mostert also out for that game. Tevin Coleman was out for that game. Didn't matter. Jeff Wilson has a career day. You win the game. Who was that attributed to? Is that Jimmy or is that Kyle? The ability to substitute all these different players in on a weekly basis to combat all these injuries. Next man up. And you still go out there and handle business. The fact this team is 4-4 is a miracle. You can look at a Philadelphia game and say they probably should have won that game. You can look at week one versus Arizona and say they should have won that game. They're 4-4. They're 500 with this makeshift football team, this who's who, this roster of just anonymous folks. Guys filling in, Kerry Hyder and DJ Jones and Deion Jordan. Marcel Harris, Tre'Davious Moore, Jeff Wilson, Jamichael Hasty, Jet McKinnon. Or actually, I said that wrong. You can't call him Jet McKinnon anymore. He's too slow. It's more like Jet Lag McKinnon with the way he's running nowadays. But you get my point. The receiving core, Deebo Samuel's been out. He's out again. He was out earlier this season rehabbing his foot injury. Came back, played a couple games, had a hamstring injury versus New England. He didn't play last Sunday versus Seattle. Dante Pettis has now been cut from the team. Thank God. And that's one thing. I'll put that on Kyle. That's one of his guys. He advocated strongly for bringing in Dante Pettis. I would say Kyle struggles as an evaluator of talent. I say that as a Kyle supporter. He struggles as an evaluator of talent. To illustrate that, you go back to the press conferences leading up to Super Bowl 54. Kyle was asked about the opposing quarterback in that game, Patrick Mahomes. Kyle took over in 2017. San Francisco desperately needed a new quarterback. Colin Kaepernick was gone. We're going to enter this season with Brian fucking Hoyer at quarterback. Pat Mahomes came out in that 2017 NFL draft. That was Kyle's first draft as a head coach. We drafted Solomon Thomas with the third pick in that draft. A few picks later, number 10, the Kansas City Chiefs took Patrick Mahomes. The rest is history. He's going on to become the best quarterback in the NFL, in my estimation. If you want to say Russell Wilson, I'm not going to be mad at that. It's a cunt's hair margin that separates Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes. I'll say a few things about Russell Wilson right now, coming off that Seattle game. Like I said, he and Mahomes are in the same category. They're both goddamn magicians. They make shit happen when it shouldn't happen. They don't make mistakes. They don't make bad plays. Even when Russell Wilson gets sacked, he only loses about 2 or 3 yards maximum. You don't see Russell getting sacked for 10, 15-yard losses. When he scrambles out the pocket, he knows how to protect himself. He slides, he gets down. He doesn't get hurt. He's been in the league 9 years as a starting quarterback in the NFL. Russell Wilson's never missed a start. He's available to you on game day. He's playing at a high level on game day. He had a touchdown pass in that game in the red zone, coming off that fumble by Dante Pettis on that suicide attempt of a kickoff return that he had, where he just ran full speed into a fucking pile, got knocked out, fumbled the ball. Dante Pettis, if you're listening, there's people out there that can help you, man. You don't have to do this to yourself. Call 1-800-SUICIDE-PREVENTION, whatever you got to do. Talk to somebody. You don't need to attempt suicide on the football field. If you're in Kyle Shanahan's doghouse, things aren't going so well at your NFL career, it's going to be okay. You're cut from the team. Somebody else might pick you up and give you a shot, but you don't have to go out there and attempt suicide during NFL games, running full speed into a crowd of people and knocking yourself out and fumbling footballs. You don't have to do that, Dante. You have something to live for. You have people who care for you. But Russell Wilson had a play on the ensuing play, or shortly there, a few plays later, in the red zone. He evades, I think, Kinlaw, I think, ducks under him, is rolling to his right, kind of fires it sidearm like he's skipping rocks on a pond for a touchdown. And in that moment, I thought to myself, this is fucking depressing. Because when you watch, it's interesting to play against a team like Seattle. And you see how good Russell Wilson is. You see everything he can do on the field, the bevy of plays that he can engineer, even when something's not there. You see how effortlessly he throws a deep ball downfield. It's a flick of the wrist, and it's accurate. It's on time. It's where it's supposed to be. You see the creativity in his game. You see a full offense being run, not a handicapped offense like the 49ers run because Garoppolo isn't capable of executing a full offense. But when you see that contrast between Russell Wilson and Jimmy Garoppolo, it illustrates even more just how sorry Garoppolo is. And if 49er fans are going to be divided like this, and that's inevitable, that happens from team to team, from year to year. You're always going to have quarterback controversies. The quarterback's the most important player in pro sports, the most difficult position to play, under the most scrutiny, etc. So you're always going to have that division within fan bases of between the starting quarterback and the backup quarterback like the 49ers have right now. You have people who are Jimmy guys. You have people who are Nick Mullins guys. And between the quarterback and the head coach, in this instance, who gets more of the credit? But like I'm saying, I'm watching this game on Seattle. It's night and day. Jimmy can't do anything that Russell can do. I'll say it again. Jimmy can't do anything that Russell can do. The athleticism he has, the creativity, the arm strength, the accuracy, the confidence. Russell plays with confidence. He always had that confidence. When he came in as a young guy, as a rookie, and his job at that point was being the caretaker of the offense, he still played with confidence. He acted like he belonged out there. Jimmy looks like a broken quarterback at this point. Jimmy looks like he's playing with PTSD. Like ever since he missed Emmanuel Sanders in Super Bowl 54 for that potential game-winning go-ahead touchdown score with that shot and once-in-a-lifetime opportunity at football immortality, Jimmy appears to be suffering from PTSD. He can't throw a football accurately with confidence past 20 yards. And in the game last Sunday against Seattle, he didn't even want to try. Like I said earlier, it's either shuffle passes, screens, digs, something in the flat, curls, drags, comebacks, whatever. He did have a nice out pattern. He threw to Kendrick Bourne on a 3rd and 9. He did well with that throw. But those throws are too few and far between. He doesn't do it enough. I don't understand how the pro-Jimmy people can continue to be pro-Jimmy people. And slowly but surely, I'm starting to convert some people over to my side. But when I watch this guy play, I just don't see what other people see. If you want to say he went 13-3 last year because of him, I give him 4 out of the 15 games the 49ers won last season. 13 wins in the regular season, 2 wins in the playoffs. The 2 playoff wins he had nothing to do with. He threw 19 passes versus Minnesota and was essentially benched after a hideous interception he threw to Michael Kendricks before the half. And Kyle called 16 consecutive run plays. Against Green Bay in the NFC Championship game, he had 8 passes total. Raheem Mostert won that game. In the Super Bowl, when it counted, when it mattered most, he was 3 of 13 for 36 yards in the fourth quarter of Super Bowl 54. He shit the bed. He was nothing. There was a stretch in Super Bowl 54. To his credit, on paper, by the numbers, Garoppolo completed 17 of 19 passes in that game. During that stretch where the 49ers, where Garoppolo completed 17 of 19 passes, San Francisco only scored 10 points. If Patrick Mahomes had completed 17 of 19 passes, it wouldn't have been 31-20. It would have been 51-20. They would have ran us out the fucking building. They would have gotten us the fuck out of here. 49ers would have died in that game if Patrick Mahomes has a stretch of completing 17 and 19 passes. You look at this season, the accuracy hasn't been there. Accuracy wasn't there last year. It really never has been there. The fundamentals, the footwork is atrocious. And this was before he got hurt. He got hurt week 2 versus New York against the Jets. Week 1 versus Arizona, he was garbage. He missed a plethora of throws that an elite quarterback is supposed to make. You're getting paid $27 million a year. And that contract stems from going 5-0 in 2017 to finish the season. But in those 5 games, you threw 7 touchdown passes, 5 interceptions. So for having a 7-5 touchdown interception ratio, Jimmy Garoppolo was gifted a $127 million contract. I don't understand how that works. And all I hear from the Jimmy acolytes out there are excuse after excuse after excuse. Well, he's hurt now. He's got a bad ankle. Well, last year it was always coming off of ACL. You know, guys usually do better in year 2 post ACL surgery. Well, this is year 2. He looked like shit. 2018, the excuse was, well, he's still learning the offense. He just got here in the 3 games he played before he got hurt. It's always an excuse. So in that realm, the 49er fans would support Jimmy are like Trump supporters. You find any and every excuse, any way to twist a narrative, any and every way possible to make your guy look good when reality suggests otherwise. When evidence to the contrary is persistent, that your guy that you believe in, or trust and hope you got in this person, is unwarranted. What has Jimmy Garoppolo really done individually to warrant all this support from 49er fans? For people that act like something's wrong with you, you lack football knowledge, if you just simply state the facts, that this guy being on this team hurts the team and doesn't really advance it forward. They need to upgrade at that position. Point blank, period. They need someone better at the quarterback position because this ain't it. Number one, he's injury prone. When he was in New England, he had a bad shoulder. He started 2 games, got hurt. When Tom Brady was unceremoniously, unnecessarily suspended for the first 4 games in 2016 over that fraudulent Deflategate bullshit. I'm still on one about that. That That was the Indianapolis Colts being a bunch of bitches. You got your asses handed to you by the New England Patriots twice that season, couldn't handle it, and they come up with some stupid-ass excuse as to why it happened. They got run over by Jonas Gray in a Sunday Night Football game that year. LeGarrette Blount had 3 rushing touchdowns in the AFC Championship game. What the fuck does the air pressure at the football have to do with that? I'm still on one. I'm not even a Patriots fan, but I just feel that's one of the dumbest fucking things I ever heard. The air pressure of the football is the reason we got our asses kicked 45-3. You got earth, wind, fire, and ice beaten out of you, not because of the air pressure of the football, but because you suck at football. You couldn't block, you couldn't tackle, you had no answer for the New England Patriots. I hate the Indianapolis Colts. Crybabies, bitches, fuck them. But back to Garoppolo. He can't stay healthy. When he's on the field, he's ineffective. 3 times this season, he has failed to finish the game. Got hurt versus the Jets, limped back to the locker room. Came back, was an absolute abortion versus the Miami Dolphins. 7-17, 94 yards, got yanked at halftime. 2 awful interceptions. 2 what the fuck were you doing interceptions? 2 are you fucking serious right now, interceptions? 2 you should be drug tested for those throws, interceptions. 3 times he couldn't finish the game. 2 he's thrown for less than 100 yards. Yet 49er fans are clamoring for this guy to come back next year and give him one more chance. Stop listening to Biggie Smalls. This guy doesn't deserve one more chance. If anything, you're dead wrong and you've been hypnotized into thinking otherwise. Why should we give Garoppolo one more chance? He's had 3 years. For $26 million, he can't stay healthy. He can't stay on the field. I only attribute 4 of those wins last year to him. If you want to look at Shanahan's, the biggest defense of Garoppolo is that, well, Shanahan has a losing record with other quarterbacks, but a winning record with Jimmy is 22-8, with Jimmy, like 5-24 with everybody else, with Nick Mullins and CJ Beathard. Look at the upgrade in overall talent and roster personnel last season. You don't think that has something to do with the team success? 2017, 2018, we didn't have Nick Bosa. Fred Warner wasn't a fixture in the defense like he is now. You didn't have D Ford. You didn't have Quan Alexander, who's now been traded. DeForest Buckner, his continued emergence. Eric Armstead got better last year, coincided with a contract year, of course. So since Eric Armstead knew he had opportunity to get paid, he raised his level of play. Richard Sherman, you didn't have Deebo Samuel on offense. Raheem Mostert wasn't the starter. George Kittle coming into his own. Kyle Juszczyk. Emmanuel Sanders being traded to the team last season. You didn't have those things in 2017, 2018. The talent and the personnel got better for the 49ers last season. Jimmy was a really good caretaker of the offense. But when you watch the 49ers play this season, you can tell Kyle Shanahan's frustrated. You can tell Kyle Shanahan wants to open it up and play the exact style of football he coached when he was in Atlanta in 2016 as the offensive coordinator, and Matt Ryan in the MVP year, Julio Jones is going crazy, and Roddy White, Taylor Gabriel, Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman in the backfield. That team was a run first, play action, take shots down the field type of team. That's ultimately where Kyle wants to take this offense. He can't take this offense there because Jimmy can't throw it down the field with confidence. On this 2020 season, he's 0-12 on passes where the ball traveled over 20 yards in the air. But yet, despite all that, similar to Trump supporters, people will just ignore reality and tell you, no, we got to go with this guy. Based on what? Based on what? Last year, if last year was supposed to be a great year for him, in today's NFL, he couldn't throw for 4,000 yards. He started all 16 games. He had a touchdown. He threw 27 touchdown passes, 13 interceptions. For his career, he has 51 touchdowns, 26 interceptions. Jimmy Garoppolo is a 2-1 lifetime touchdown to interception career ratio. Watching all those games last year as I did, I was always waiting for the weekly Jimmy Garoppolo fuck up. I was always waiting for the weekly Jimmy Garoppolo pick. At what point in the game is Jimmy going to throw it to triple coverage? At what point in the game is Jimmy going to throw it to someone who's not open when they're not even ready? Or is he going to be late on a pass? Or is it going to be inaccurate? At what point in the game is Jimmy going to throw it 10 yards behind somebody and almost get them killed? Or 10 yards in front of them and almost get them killed? Watch other teams' quarterbacks play football and then watch Jimmy Garoppolo. Watch rookies like Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow play and then watch Jimmy Garoppolo. Tell me what you see. Those guys are rookies. This is year one. Those guys are already leaps and bounds better than Jimmy. Another convenient excuse I keep hearing. Well, he's young. He just turned 29 the other day. He's not that young anymore. Well, he hasn't started that many games. He started enough. By the way, for Garoppolo's birthday, he actually did have a birthday on Monday. Close friends and family wanted to throw him a surprise party, but in the honor of Jimmy Garoppolo, was intercepted by the Seattle Seahawks. Instead of having birthday cake, he had turnovers. He's 29 now. Waiting on Jimmy to grow up is like waiting for that fuck up in your family to grow up and finally figure it out. You got like a cousin, a brother, an uncle, somebody who's like a perpetual fuck up, in and out of jail, always begging a different woman for a place to stay at night. Ain't never had their own car, never had their own place. You know, still selling drugs in your mid-30s. Still selling nickel bags of weed in your mid-30s. That type of fuck up in your family. And you waiting for them to figure it out one day and turn their life around and get better. They're never going to do it. You'll be blue in the, you'll be a skeleton by the time that person finally figures their life out. That's how 49er fans should feel about Jimmy Garoppolo. You'll be 6 feet under the ground by the time this dude gets his shit together as a 49er quarterback. Jimmy Garoppolo is the modern day Scott Mitchell, Matt Flynn, you know, Rob Johnson, a guy who was a backup quarterback somewhere, and people had, you know, thoughts about him. People were like, well, maybe this guy can get a shot on another team and be successful. You think about Scott Mitchell in 93 when Dan Marino tore his Achilles. Scott Mitchell came in there, played pretty well. The Detroit Lions needed a quarterback. They looked at Scott Mitchell, 6'5", big dude, big arm. They saw how he played in relief for Marino, and they said, well, maybe we can bring this guy in and he can be our starter. Nope, that didn't happen. Matt Flynn threw for like 500 yards in a game for the Green Bay Packers 1 year. Seattle was going to – Russell Wilson never should have been the starter his rookie season. The plan was to bring in Matt Flynn. But Russell played so well in training camp, he took the job from Matt Flynn, and Matt Flynn was cut from the team. The rest is history. Russell's now become arguably the best quarterback in the league. But that's my point, is like these highly sought-after backup quarterbacks for other teams, to me, are never going to be the answer when you try to start your own team. That's a different circumstance, a different team, different guys calling plays, different game plan. Different everything. You bring that guy into your squad, you got to create everything to support him. And that's what Kyle Shanahan has to do on a weekly basis. He has to devise an offensive game plan that is advantageous to Garoppolo, knowing his limited abilities. But yet, you know, people are entitled to their own opinion. Some people are right, most people are wrong. It is what it is. You can think however you want to think. Me personally, I'm in the camp that Kyle Shanahan's a guy. Kyle's not going anywhere. He just signed an extension last June for 6 years at least. Kyle's not going anywhere. But Jimmy, now I don't see him being the quarterback of this team next season. I don't see why you would bring him back. I think what the 49ers need is a fresh start. I think Jimmy needs a fresh start. He needs to go somewhere else and just play. Because when I watch him play, I see smoke come out of his ears. I see a lack of confidence. I see a guy who just looks, like I said, he has football PTSD. He looks broken out there. And maybe Kyle just wears on him too much. Like I said, they both need a divorce in this situation. Jimmy needs to go somewhere else. Kyle's going to stay, and he needs to get his quarterback to groom for success. And when I say that, and once again going back to the Mahomes story, Kyle said he never even looked at Patrick Mahomes coming in that 2017 season. Didn't take a look at Mahomes or Deshaun Watson. He knew that C.J. Beathard was the guy he wanted to draft, and he wanted Kirk Cousins. Because Kyle has a certain image of his offense, how he wants to run it, and certain guys he wants, and certain skill set. So Kyle, you know, he had success with Matt Ryan. He was an MVP under Kyle Shanahan. They're familiar with each other. But the guy that Kyle really wanted was Kirk Cousins. In 2017, Kirk Cousins was still with Washington. when the deal was made for Garoppolo and he won 5 games to finish out the season, that slammed the door on Kirk Cousins ever playing for the 49ers. So when I say that Kyle has to find this guy, based on the fact that, based on his own history and his father's history, Mike Shanahan, I just don't see it being a young guy in the draft. Now, you can talk about Zach Wilson from BYU. He's a pretty good player coming out. I don't think San Francisco is going to finish that badly to where they can be in a spot to get Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence. But you got this guy, Trey Lance, coming out of North Dakota State, coming out into the draft. He could be in the mix. Or Zach Wilson from BYU. But I just don't see Kyle wanting to get a young quarterback early in the draft. I see him going the veteran route. I see him making the play to get Matt Ryan or Kirk Cousins or Matt Stafford, maybe even Sam Darnold. Those are the 4 likely quarterbacks in the mix I see being the quarterback for the 49ers next season. Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins, Matt Stafford, or Sam Darnold. But Jimmy Garoppolo, his time is come and gone. And to me, he's always been a little bit overrated. I never had that much hope and faith in him. I never liked his accuracy, his decision-making, his fundamentals, his footwork. I don't like the fact that he fucking smiles after he throws a pick. He does that shit a lot. He did that shit on Sunday versus Seattle. You throw a pick and the camera zooms in on your face and you got a fucking grin from ear to ear. You got some shit-eating grin. Are you out there point-shaving? Do you play for the Seahawks or the 49ers? Why the fuck are you grinning after throwing an interception? Contrast that to Tom Brady, 43-year-old Tom Brady. The Buccaneers had a 3-and-out on Monday Night Football. He goes to the sideline, takes off his helmet, and slams it into the fucking bench. He's pissed. He's mad about a 3-and-out. They didn't score. They didn't get the desired result on that drive. 43, so he has that level of competitive fire about him. Take off his helmet and slam into the fucking bench. Meanwhile, Jimmy Garoppolo smiling at throwing picks. That's not my quarterback. Put it like that. Listen to this podcast. By the way, thank you for listening. I appreciate it. Every listen, every view, as I'm getting started in this journey, I appreciate every listen. But if you've been listening, you would already know I'm not a Garoppolo guy. I just never bought into it. I don't like what I see. The numbers back that up. The eye test, just watching film, watching tape, watching him miss guys wide open. Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk. Kendrick Bourne get open quite often. George Kittle get open quite often downfield, and Garoppolo misses him. You watch the All-22 coaches tape, you'll see the frustration in Ayuk, in Deebo. Guys clapping their hands, stomping their feet like they in church. But they upset at the quarterback didn't even look their way because he checked it down. He checks it down more than Alex Smith did. His football PTSD won't allow him to even attempt a 20-yard pass downfield. Jimmy's like your uncle in your family who only drives in residential neighborhoods, is scared to go over 40 miles per hour and will never get on the highway, doesn't like driving at night because his eyesight is shit. That's who Jimmy is as a quarterback. With it being the most important position in sports, playing in our division where you have Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray, now, Jared Goff is kind of in the same boat as Jimmy. His head coach is the reason why he's so successful. But Russell and Kyler having to compete with guys like that, they're not going anywhere anytime soon. I looked it up earlier. I looked up the advanced stats for Jimmy. Jimmy doesn't even have a throwaway this season. Jimmy can't even escape the pocket, extend the play, and throw a ball out of bounds. He has no throwaways this season. If pressure gets to him in the pocket, he's going down. He's like a boxer on the take. He got paid by the mafia to throw a fight. He's going down in the 5th. You got to get a quarterback that can move in today's NFL. You got to get a quarterback with athleticism. Preferably, get a quarterback with a baseball background. Get someone who can make off-schedule throws from any launch point, any arm angle, like Mahomes, like Wilson. I know it's easier said than done, but that's what scouting is for. Get a quarterback with some type of athleticism. Jimmy had athleticism. Then the ACL injury happened, and it's gone now. He can't move. He's a statue. He cannot go anywhere. To me, what happened last... I'm not even mad about what happened last Sunday versus Seattle. Not mad at all. I think it was necessary. I think that game had to happen. I said a few weeks ago, this is going to be the biggest stretch of games in Jimmy Garoppolo's life. This stretch of games was going to prove whether or not he should be the 49ers quarterback going forward with the way the contract is set up. If he plays well, he'll be on the team next year. If he doesn't play well, he'll be somewhere else next year. He hasn't played well other than Shanahan scheming open throws and scheming up yards, a lot of yards after the catch for him. And he's out. He's hurt now. Once again hurt. So to me, he's out of here. He's gone. And I'm fine with that. If you're a Garoppolo supporter and you're okay with a indecisive, inconsistent, immobile, inaccurate, and overall incompetent quarterback the majority of the time, then you will lament the loss of Jimmy Garoppolo. Myself, on the other hand, in the words of the late, great Owen Hart, enough is enough, and it's time for a change. Once again, this has been Dion Gordon, the Dion Gordon Podcast. Picture me rolling. I'm out.